You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Hour two on this Wednesday, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Last hour, I was talking about all the great memorabilia I have in the man cave. And I've been promised a couple things, and I'm still waiting for it. I just got my Tim Tebow Jags jersey. But I mentioned two items that I was promised and did not receive. One was LaDainian Tomlinson was going to go to the Vikings late in his career, and they gave him a jersey. And I thought, well, he didn't go there, but it'd be great, be a nice talking point if you had that jersey framed here in the man cave. The other one was Brent Berry, the former San Antonio Spur, slam dunk champion in 1996. And years ago, I asked Brent Berry, can I have maybe your warm-up pants? When he won the slam dunk contest. So he ripped off the pants. He had his jersey on, and then he had his warm-up top on. And he won the slam dunk contest, didn't even take off his warm-up top. And it's an unbelievable picture of him that, he's flying through the air, leaving from the foul line, and he wins the slam dunk contest. And so I said, hey, every time I see him, hey, still waiting for that slam dunk contest uniform. So he's listening, and then he tweeted out that says, Dan, it's a pandemic, and nobody wants to wear pants right now. Therefore, he doesn't want to send me his pants. Lame, but I appreciate Brent Berry listening.
Fair. It's fair, though.
Yeah, I guess. I would give up an NBA championship ring. He's got a few of them. Like, Bones may have like three or four championship rings in San Antonio, his nickname. For the ability to show people that poster of me leaving from the foul line, winning the slam dunk contest, I might give up an NBA championship. If I have like three, I'd give up one just to say, hey, that's me in the slam dunk contest. Yeah, Paul.
I just rewatched this 96 dunk contest. He cleanly took off from the foul line. Yeah. Like, it was not one of those cheat inside or heel on the foul line. He was clean.
Well, the I remember Dr. J left a little bit in front of the foul line. When he first did it in the slam dunk contest, it was a little bit in front of the free throw line. Jordan, of course, did it. I mean, now we're seeing players who are able to do it. But Brent Berry doing that, wearing his Clippers gear. Oh, this just in from John Heyman. The Dodgers are closing in on a deal for Cole Hamels. So Max Scherzer makes his debut tonight. He had 52,000 last night, and we played a little bit of that sound. If you're a Dodger fan, can you move on from this? Do you want to move on from this? As long as Jose Altuve is there, go ahead. Boo. This is what it sounded last night at Dodger Stadium. All right. There you go. Cheers.
Jeter.
No, Cheater.
Derek Jeter.
Yeah. I didn't know Cole Hamels was still playing baseball, but the Dodgers are closing in on a deal for him. You know, the bigger picture is the Dodgers lost the game, and you could make a case that Walker Buehler, it looked like his rhythm was interrupted quite a few times because of the atmosphere that was there, the trash cans that were there. The Astros are 65-42. Dodgers are 64-44. But last night, that's playoff atmosphere. They gave out pamphlets in the parking lot prior to the game and called the opponent the trash strows. Yeah, doesn't exactly roll off the tongue. Oscar the Grouch, people are dressed like Oscar the Grouch, who, of course, lives in a garbage can on Sesame Street. There were foam asterisk there. It was on. Everybody was into it. But, you know, how many players are from that 2017 still there? Altuve's there, Correa. Lance McCullers, yeah, McLovin.
But I looked up Cole Hamels, 37. He had a tricep injury last year and did like an open workout for everyone in the league. And so he's totally coming off full injuries, like, and it's a kind of a risky thing.
And I'm going to give credit to the Astros, okay, because of what happened before, and that they know that they're a villain. They're baseball's villain, but they've played extremely well. It's a good team. You don't have the formidable rotation that they once had. I mean, they've had some really good pitchers go through there. Dallas Keuchel, you had Verlander, you had Gerrit Cole, and they are an impressive team to watch. And Dusty Baker has done a great job with that team. And I had somebody who's, I'll be kind here. He's an Astros apologist. I don't want to give away what his job is, but he's and it's not Todd, because Todd doesn't know anybody on this roster except for Altuve. But he said, you know, hey, look at what we did. Did we really need to cheat? I said, you just answer your question. Why did you cheat? If you guys are this good, then you didn't need to cheat. Well, that's the strange thing about it. You have this talent. If somebody presents you with, hey, I got a foolproof way of cheating, and we won't get caught. Like, hey, we've done this before, other places. And you probably go, like, at one point, you have to make that decision. I'm going to cheat. And then you have to, the whole team has to be in on this. Like, you at least have to say, hey, this is what we're doing. Now, do I think Justin Verlander was in the dugout hearing, you know, trash cans banging and didn't think anything of it? Like, at what point do you say, what are we doing? Why are we doing it? Do we need to do it? Somebody had to be the grown-up in the room, and there was no grown-up in the room. But, you know, this isn't a talented team, but this stays with Altuve the rest of his career. And I don't know if there's going to be any other Hall of Fame quality players on that team, but this stays with him forever. When he goes to Cooperstown, if he gets inducted, he's going to hear this because he's the face of it. Yeah, Paul.
The 2017 Astros as a team hit .282. That was by far led the majors and one of the best team batting averages in the past 20 years. They had .282 in 2017. So the entire team benefited.
Yeah, and then but they had those games where they were on the road against the Dodgers and they were hitting home runs off Kershaw. Like, they have the talent to do it. It's where you go, why would you do it? You know, I go back to Barry Bonds. Barry Bonds was going to be a Hall of Famer before he joined the Giants. But then Barry, I think, just looked around and said, you got to be kidding me. People are celebrating Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa. He had to make that decision to cheat. And maybe not at the time, knowing if I ever got caught, then that's going to take away my Hall of Fame career that I built up when I played for Pittsburgh. You have to make that decision. Those Dodger players made that decision, not thinking they were going to get. Nobody does it and goes, what if I get caught? Or I might get caught. You kind of go, yeah, all right, let me give it a shot. And this will stay with the Astros. And if you said to Altuve, hey, you're going to cheat, you're going to get caught, you don't lose any money, they don't take away the World Series trophy, might impact you making it into the Baseball Hall of Fame. Does he sign up for that? Because in his mind, he had to at least start to do the math on this and go, is it worth it? But you're always thinking. It's not like when you rob a bank, you go, what if I get caught? Like, you're not thinking that. Hey, I'm going to steal a car. What if I get caught? No, you just go, I'm going to steal a car. Oh, I got caught. What was I thinking? Yes, McLovin.
Same question with like a Robinson Cano got caught multiple times, but made it. I just looked up the salary, over $200 million.
Yeah, these guys didn't lose anything. And I have a problem with that, that they should have vacated that trophy. That you can't punish these players, then take away their trophy. Yes, Eden.
But that's what's so odd about Jose Altuve in particular, right? And I mean, I know this is sort of where you started with everything, but there, baseball and cheating is like synonymous.
I know.
You know, they go hand in hand so much to the point where just all of these pitchers were like, well, it's kind of passed down between generations, so it's not really cheating. You know, but for some reason, this dude is the face of cheating for everybody. Seems odd.
I think it's the way they cheated. It's almost as if they tested positive for steroids. We would have gone, oh, okay, that explains something. Mm. You know, you had systematic cheating with espionage, technology. Like, we don't like technology.
At wires and stuff.
Yeah, like, I like modern technology, but I don't like modern technology when it comes to how my teams cheat. I have to draw a line.
That's too far. Too far. Nope. Sorry. Got to put my foot down. It's just too far.
Yeah, Paulie.
Imagine the Astros did the same exact thing, but it was just a guy at second base, and they had leg taps. But we had video, and they were signaling the guy.
Yeah, but that's fine. That's legal.
It's the exact same thing, but without the technology and the organized team effort.
But you needed the technology to be able to do it. And you go back and listen to some of those home runs. You talk about being, you know, it's sitting dead red. Like, you're sitting waiting. You know what's coming. And you hear some of those hits. Like, those are bombs. Like, they know what's coming. And so go ahead, boo. Boo your till your heart's content.
Whatever happened to just yelling out good old-fashioned curveball?
That's when a guy gets hit in the head. Yes, they do.
So they would frown upon that as well.
Yes, they would. Yeah. Yes, they would. Unwritten rules of baseball. Yes, Todd?
No accusations, but Shohei's bat seems to sound like someone that knows exactly where that ball is going to be placed.
Yeah. But you did preface it by saying no accusations.
No accusations at all. It's just the sound of that bat is
feels like there's an accusation in your no accusation.
No, definitely not.
Thank you, Todd.
He's just a rare unicorn special case.
The poll question today, McLovin, is?
When can we stop booing the Astros?
Okay.
After the series against the Dodgers, after the season, or never?
Whatever you feel best. You know, every fan base probably wants a shot at him, but certainly the Dodgers did, and you got it last night. Is that enough where you go, all right, let's move on? Well, you got tonight, Max Scherzer making his debut. Yes, McLovin.
By the way, how do we know what Shohei's translator is really saying to him? He could be saying, slider coming here.
Okay.
Yelling from the dugout. No, that's
okay.
Terrible. This is terrible. Someone's going to listen to this and say, we accuse Shohei. Of course we did.
That's McLovin. That's
no, it's Todd. It's Todd.
Yeah, and you.
Todd Fritz.
You kind of co-signed with that in the back row. Philip Rivers may want out of the house. I don't know if he wants to. Sounds like he wants to play again. And just in case the Colts would reach out, sounds like he would be available. The Lakers have loaded up. Carmelo Anthony, Malik Monk, Kendrick Nunn. You got Wayne Ellington, Kent Bazemore. We'll talk to Frank Isola. Covers the NBA. He'll join us coming up here in a moment and get his thoughts on what the Lakers did. Are they a better team? They're certainly an interesting team, far more interesting than they were this past year. But this is LeBron James. If they win, does LeBron get votes for GM of the year? Because it feels like LeBron reaching out saying, hey, just come in 1 year. And you get Melo, which it's a nice story. I just don't know how much better that makes you. Do I like Melo being able to shoot open threes? Yes. And I'll continue to say this until I'm proven wrong. When you have players who shoot well with teams that the expectation level is not very high. And so I see that the shooting percentages with Wayne Ellington, Carmelo Anthony, Kent Bazemore, Malik Monk. All right, they shoot over 40% from three-point range. Well, taking a three-pointer in a Hornets game or a Blazers game or a Kings game or a Knicks game is a whole lot different than taking a three in a big game with the Lakers, because you're going to be playing meaningful games. And it's not that, hey, who cares if I miss this shot? It's going to be, how did you miss that shot? Why did you miss that shot? And that's the tricky part when it comes to players joining a really good team. Are you able to do what you did when you were on a team that wasn't very good? Paul in Iowa joins us. Hey, Paul, what's on your mind today?
Horns down, guys. Hey, what's going on?
Hey, Paul.
Hey, well, you know, you mentioned last hour, you said Jose Altuve and Hall of Fame in the same sentence. And I got a little more riled up than I thought I would, because first off, baseball didn't punish any of these guys. And that you think that he would have a shot at the Hall of Fame while they won't let in Pete Rose, who there was no concrete evidence that Pete Rose actively tried to alter games, while we know with proof that Jose Altuve altered games to his benefit and won a World Series altering games. So I just want your opinion on comparing Jose Altuve and his Hall of Fame chances to the Pete Rose situation.
You have to take Pete out of this, because he broke a rule that you can't break. It's posted gambling. And, you know, Pete betting on his team. Let's say he bet on his team. Bet on his team. And he said this to me years ago, that he bet on his team every game to win. Well, first of all, that'll tell you why Pete was not a good gambler. But you can manipulate the lineup to win. I might have to bring John Franco back as my closer, and you know, because I'm trying to win this bet. And maybe I use a pitcher that shouldn't be used, or a pitcher that, you know, a reliever that shouldn't be used. Like, it gets into tricky area there with Pete. Pete shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame. Now, as a player, if they want to put him in, great. But, you know, what happened as a manager? I mean, that's the reason why he's not in the Hall of Fame. Do I think Pete was gambling when he was playing? I do. Absolutely. And I had a front row seat for Pete Rose growing up in Cincinnati. But it's different with Altuve. I mean, Barry Bonds manipulated games by using steroids. I mean, he was trying to win, but that's manipulating a game. You're changing a game. Guys using steroids have done that. So, we get into that area of who is and who isn't and who should be and who shouldn't. Hey, I only used it for a little while. Okay, does A-Rod get in because he's got unbelievable stats, but he tested positive a couple times? No, he shouldn't. Mark McGwire paid the price. Sammy Sosa, Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens. Altuve's probably not going to pay the price for the cheating scandal. Just not. All right, when we come back, the Lakers better today than they were last week. We'll talk to Frank Isola. And more phone calls coming up as well. It's 17 after the hour here on the Dan Patrick Show. New app. And I love this. Stifel Wealth Tracker app makes it easier to manage your investments. When it comes to managing your investments, knowing where you stand is half the battle. Stifel Wealth Tracker lets you build your personal balance sheet. You track your net worth over time. And you can look at all of your financial accounts. There's securely linked bank-level encryption. Monitor how all your investments are doing. And you do so in one place. Stifel Wealth Tracker also gives you direct access to Stifel's award-winning equity research, investment strategy views, and more. Stifel has helped clients manage their investments for over 130 years. When you need professional guidance, you can use the Stifel Wealth Tracker. Use that app, connect with a Stifel financial advisor to get the help you need. Now, best of all, Stifel Wealth Tracker app completely free. Download Stifel Wealth Tracker on the App Store, Google Play, or at stifel.com/tracker. You spell it STIFEL, stifel.com/tracker. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. All righty. This just in. Kemba Walker finalizing a contract buyout with the Thunder. The New York Knicks will sign Kemba Walker as a free agent, sources tell The Athletic. Let's bring in Frank Isola, the Nets studio host on YES, also has a SiriusXM radio show, the starting lineup and contributor to Around the Horn and Pardon the Interruption. Let me start there. The Knicks, they're getting these players. Yes, it's the magic of the playoffs, that win against the Hawks, Frank. They got Kemba Walker. And your reaction is?
Well, he, as you know, Dan, he is a New Yorker, so, and he's an upgrade on what they had. So you put him with Derrick Rose as your two point guards. It's not terrible. You know, the problem with Kemba Walker, and we saw him get exposed a couple of times or a few times defensively, he is undersized. And the big thing with him will be, can he stay healthy? Remember, last year, the Celtics, they weren't playing Kemba in back-to-backs. The idea was to keep him ready and fresh for the playoffs, and then he ended up missing playoff games. Mm. So who knows what his health is at this point.
All right, let's look at the Lakers step-by-step, move-by-move here. Let's start with Russell. So yep. Upgrade for you, you like the move with Russell Westbrook?
I like it during the regular season. How it works in the playoffs, I don't know, because you know he's a ball-dominant guard who's not a great shooter. And, you know, when you do get to the playoffs in these you know, crucial moments of games, you want the ball in LeBron James's hands. So if Russell Westbrook going to be playing off the ball, and if so, is he going to be the one knocking down shots? I get it. To get through a regular season, LeBron, you know, doesn't want to play 82 games at this stage of his career. He wants guys to carry him, and it's almost as if he knows now that Anthony Davis can't be that guy. I understand why they did it. In theory, it's an upgrade. I'll be interested to see how it works during the postseason.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. It feels like Russ, he never takes a possession off. Like every possession matters to him, and he'll play hard the entire regular season. Although there are times when I want him to maybe take a couple of plays off or not exactly. Have every possession mean as much. All right, now you get Melo. What do you think of the addition of Melo?
Yeah, I mean, if you look at Carmelo the last few years, I mean, he's accepted his role. He's now a bit player who will play between 20 and 25 minutes a game. He could still knock down mid-range jumpers. I get it. He and LeBron have been friends since high school. They've always wanted to play together. They played together on the national team. They've been in all-star teams together. I think it's fine because you're not getting Carmelo. You're not asking him to be your starting power forward. He is getting up there in age, but he proved on Portland he could be a contributing player. I think he wants to make a run at it. You've seen that list. There's only 8 guys that have won a national championship, a college championship, and then a gold medal, and Carmelo wants to be the 9th guy to do that.
All right, the other additions here, who stands out more?
Well, Westbrook is obviously a really good one.
Malik Monk, Kent Bazemore, Wayne Ellington.
I mean, they needed shooting, so in theory, I would say, you know, Wayne Ellington isn't a bad one. I think getting Dwight Howard back is good. You know, Dan, if you look last year with Montrezl Harrell, they got Montrezl Harrell on a bargain basement contract, and he did not play well. I mean, he really didn't give them a lot. And it's interesting. If you look at what happened with Giannis Antetokounmpo in the finals, where Phoenix really didn't have anybody after DeAndre Ayton to deal with him, all of a sudden size seems to matter again in the NBA. And Dwight Howard helped the Lakers when they won a title. And Dwight has kind of become, in a lot of ways, morphing into a bit of a Dennis Rodman type where he's constantly out there trying to agitate the opposition, trying to draw technical fouls. He's really done a good job developing into that kind of role player. So I think he's going to help them a lot. For the money, to me, he's an upgrade over Montrezl Harrell.
Yeah, and I agree with you on the Rodman-Dwight Howard comparison, because knowing your role is really important when you get on a LeBron team. And I also wonder, can they do anything with Dennis Schroeder with a sign and trade? Can the Lakers? Because I still, it's weird, through free agency, I mentioned this, I thought of Dame Lillard and Dennis Schroeder. Schroeder turning down the extension with the Lakers, and then was he going to be in no man's land? And Dame Lillard looking around going, we got Cody Zeller and Tony Snell and Ben McLemore. We're not going anywhere. But can the Lakers benefit from Dennis Schroeder with a sign and trade?
Yeah, they could still get something for him. And that's why you love when guys say, bet on yourself. Well, Dennis Schroeder bet on himself. It really hasn't worked out to this point. He should have taken that $84 million contract that he was offered. You mentioned Damian Lillard. I would think that this year they'll try to get through the season with Lillard. And if it doesn't work out, then I could see a trade. You know, at the earliest, the deadline, I doubt that would happen. I could see something with Damian Lillard around next year's NBA draft. That's usually when these big deals tend to happen. So if it doesn't work out for Portland, if they're not making steady progress in the Western Conference, I think that Damian Lillard will be out by next summer.
Steph Curry signed a new extension. And the last year of that deal, I think he makes close to $60 million.
Crazy.
Where is this? Is this sustainable, Frank?
I don't know how it is. And you know that a lot of owners are talking about this. And when the collective bargaining agreement, whenever it does expire, it's got to be something that will be addressed. At least Steph Curry, in his case, now who knows what he's going to be like 5 years from now when the contract expires, because it doesn't even kick in until next season. But he has been an unbelievable player, 2-time All-Star. He's won finals there. You know, he's revitalized that entire organization. One of the reasons they were able to build that amazing arena that they have. But there's going to come a point where you look at some of these contracts, even Lonzo Ball, getting 4 years, $85 million. He's a very good player. All he's done has been on losing teams.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, so I get it. You're paying for potential. With Steph, you're paying for services already rendered. But the money is crazy. I think in the NBA world, they're calling it Dan Patrick money.
Oh, is that what it
that
is?
That Steph Curry got. Yes, yeah. Very much so.
I think it's Bill Simmons money. But $60 million. Where, you know, we freak out when Patrick Mahomes signs his deal and we go, oh my God, they're paying him that much. And you're going, like he would be just another marquee player in the NBA with his salary here.
Yeah, I remember when Eli Manning first signed his contract with the Giants. He said it was $100 million, but the guaranteed money was what Trevor Ariza was making on a mid-level exception. So Eli Manning was basically getting Trevor Ariza money. But Dan, you know this, when you go back to Michael Jordan's last 2 years with the Chicago Bulls, Michael Jordan got $30 million for both those. He was like, you know, in the $30 to $35 million range. And even back then, you're like, you know what? He's definitely worth it. But now you think all these years later, Steph Curry essentially is going to be making double that. Amazing.
But it didn't count against the cap with Jordan, did it?
No.
Yeah, no. So,
He was remember, that's when the Knicks fans, as you know, I mean, we're still playing this game where the Knicks fan was thinking maybe Michael Jordan would take the mid-level exception or minimum to come play in New York. And then Jerry Reinsdorf stepped up to the plate and said, I'll give you $30 million. And then I think it was $33 million. And Michael Jordan wisely stayed in Chicago, won two more championships and got his money.
Do you think the Knicks feel Zion Williamson will be in play for them in a couple of years?
I definitely think they do believe that. And when Zion played at Madison Square Garden the last time around, he recited all the familiar verses about it's the Mecca of basketball, it's a great place to play. It was almost as if the Knicks gave him a script. And you look at New Orleans, you know, they got a lot of good young players. They haven't come close to sniffing the playoffs yet. So, and the Western Conference is tough. So it could get to a point with Zion where the Pelicans are in the same position they were in with Anthony Davis, where you're looking to get assets, draft picks. At least that's something that right now the Knicks still have.
The Kawhi Leonard situation with the Clippers, where coming off the ACL, does he even play this year? Does he want to play this year? What do you like the Clippers? It feels like they're damned if they do, damned if they don't. What do you think makes the most sense in this situation from the Clippers' perspective?
Well, considering everything that they gave up to get Paul George, all those first-round picks, do they really have any other option but to re-sign Kawhi Leonard? Likely not going to play this season, just like a similar situation with the Nets and Kevin Durant his first year there where he didn't play. And then you just keep your fingers crossed that he's going to be able healthy enough and he'll, you know, still come back in top form. What I don't get, though, Dan, is you have Kawhi, you know, it came out. Now, Kawhi didn't say it. It was reports that he wanted to talk to other teams. Talk to other teams about what? First of all, not a lot of teams have money. And at some point, I know this is like a bad word in sports, does loyalty ever come into the equation? You wanted them to go out and get Paul George. They moved heaven and earth to get him. And now here you are, knowing that you're not even going to play. And you're saying, well, maybe I'll talk to other teams. I don't know about that.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of things that go on behind the scenes with Kawhi that if it was somebody else, we would be calling them out. It feels like, you know, because Kawhi is not media friendly. You don't hear much from him, but it feels like somebody's pulling strings behind the scenes here, whether it's Kawhi or his uncle. Like something's going on there, and it doesn't seem like he gets a lot of blame.
No, he doesn't. I think maybe being aloof has something to do with the fact that you said he's really not that engaging with the media. Even when they lost last year, when they blew the 3-1 lead to the Denver Nuggets, you're the star player of the team. Usually in those situations, if that's LeBron, wherever he is, if it's Patrick Ewing when he was in New York, you're going to get crushed. And it was like, well, Doc Rivers, it's really his fault that we lost, or it's this guy's fault, or Paul George. Nobody really blamed the star of the team. And it's his uncle Dennis who I think is sometimes pulling the strings. Who, by the way, lives in the same area as Kyrie Irving. So that would be a good little lunch date. Get together with Uncle Dennis and Kyrie. Talk basketball.
How did the Nets do in the offseason?
I think they did really well. First of all, the three talented players that they have should be healthy for the start of the season. But you know, Patty Mills is good.
Yeah.
And Patty Mills was thinking about the Lakers, came to the Nets. I'm sure the whole Sean Marks, you know, the San Antonio Spurs Mafia, Steve Nash being an international player like Patty Mills, I'm sure that all factor in. That's a great signing for them. Go back to the playoffs. Joe Harris, great regular season, but some clutch moments, especially in that game 7, couldn't knock down a shot. Patty Mills will make those shots.
Yeah, I brought that up. It's one thing to hit a jumper when you're blowing teams out by 30 in the regular season and you're having a and one mixtape there.
Yep.
But when it's this possession, you need to hit this shot. And that's why I wonder about the players the Lakers brought in. For the most part, these guys, Malik Monk and Kent Bazemore, Wayne Ellington, they haven't hit big shots
before.
They haven't hit big shots. And I think that'll be, you know, the interesting part of this. Would you bet on the Lakers playing for a championship this year?
The only reason why I think I might is just because I don't know the situation with Jamal Murray in Denver. There's, you know, he got injured April 12th. The season is going to end right around that time. So that's a year out of having ACL surgery. Kawhi's not going to play. And the big thing will be, and it's true of everybody, health will be a factor. If LeBron is healthy, Anthony Davis is healthy by the start of the playoffs, I think the Lakers can get there. The Nets probably have a bit of a tougher road with Milwaukee and Miami, but I think the Nets are the best team. And maybe you'll get a finals with the dynamic between Kyrie and LeBron, Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant, and then in the case of Anthony Davis and James Harden, the two guys that forced their way out of their teams, pretty nasty divorce. So it almost works perfectly if we get them in NBA finals.
Good to talk to you, Frank. Thanks,
bud. Good seeing you, Dan. Take care.
That's Frank Isola, Nets studio host on Yes, also has his own show on SiriusXM. NBA Radio, the starting lineup, and contributor to Around the Horn, and pardon the interruption. Yeah, you start to look at winners and losers, and it's really difficult because I have no idea what these new additions are going to mean for the Lakers. Things look good, sound good, appear good on paper, but it's like the newer, the fresher, the, you know, I didn't see that happening. Like, that fascinates us. The Bucks didn't do anything. I don't know if that's a good thing or not. But, you know, they won the title without Dante DiVincenzo, who was a starter. You lose P.J. Tucker. They didn't do much. The Nets got Patty Mills, who I like, but they didn't do much. Yeah, McLovin.
You know where we're going here.
Where?
Is that, are you saying? No, you're not at all. I'm saying, is this going to be one of those asterisk titles? Because
for LeBron?
For the Bucks, because everyone's going to say, oh, this wasn't the real playoffs. Because
You know what? I don't.
You hate those.
Yes, it's unfair to the Bucks. Because all they did is beat who was ever in front of them. Like, they stayed healthy. I said this at the start of the playoffs. Whoever is healthiest and makes their free throws is going to win the title. And Giannis got hurt in the playoffs, and they still overcame that. But it came down to, he came back, he was healthy, he made his free throws, they won the championship. You know, Kevin Durant's foot is on the line. That's on Kevin Durant. You know, I can't go, well, the Bucks wouldn't have won. Yeah, I get that. I mean, Michael Jordan beat a Laker team when LeBron was hurt, or Magic was hurt. Nobody brings that up. Oh, they, you know, the Bulls beat Portland in a finals. Okay.
That was a great Portland team, wasn't that? An all-time team?
Yeah. A lot of talent.
Kersey Duckworth, right?
Yeah.
That's my pride. But the Bucks, they're like fourth now in the Vegas odds. So well, that meaning like people don't necessarily think they're the best team.
And I said last year, they're better as an underdog than a favorite. They were probably fourth in the odds or maybe further down. I still want to see what Philadelphia is doing. They picked up Andre Drummond. So you got him and Joel Embiid, and they've had a beef for a few years here. But can you get somebody for Ben Simmons? And if you do, is that enough where we look at them and we say, if the Sixers got Damian Lillard, okay, now it's different. Yeah, Seton.
Well, we just had somebody say recently that the quiet teams are always working on something.
Yeah.
It kind of feels like the Sixers and maybe Portland, where they didn't really make any big moves, but they're all in on making that one move.
But who is going to Portland? Like, what do you do? And unless you're getting Ben Simmons in there.
Like Ben Simmons, two other players, and a first rounder.
For Damian Lillard?
Yeah.
Maybe. But if I'm Portland, then I have to decide, who are we then? You're going to get rid of Damian Lillard.
And considering now that that the Sixers have to reload, considering the Knicks just took over.
Oh, okay. This Kemba Walker move, now the Sixers are going to go, we got to go get Damian Lillard.
Completely shook up.
How do we respond? Yes, yeah. McLovin.
The Sixers also, there was a report that we didn't talk about that they tried to trade Tobias Harris this offseason too, but nobody wants that contract. Give him Ben and Tobias for that's a good players for Damian.
When your voice goes up, you mean you're lying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Or you know you're not even buying into your own BS. I mean, imagine if somebody was selling you something. Hey, I'm looking for an engagement ring. You know, it's a good, you know, decent quality. You know, it's not a bad price. You're going to go, no. Hey, how is this? What's the neighborhood like? I'm buying this. Hey, you know, it's a transition. You know, it's up and coming. I'm gonna pass on this. Yes, Paulie.
You know, when you buy a used car from a guy, how's the rust situation? I said, it's not bad. It's not bad at all.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, don't even look. But look at the paint.
All right, we'll take a break. Phone calls coming up. Top of next hour. Rankings are out. The best wide receiving core in the NFL. I'm surprised that at least three of the top five here will... We'll talk about that coming up. And I think we're going to hear from Joey Votto of the Reds. And that's Paulie's guy. Paulie was pumping him up for the Hall of Fame. He hit home runs in seven consecutive games. So I think Joey Votto of my Cincinnati Reds will join us. Yes, Paulie.
We invited both Joey and Bryce Harper just to be his journalist.
Yes, McLovin.
I think Bryce Harper is still celebrating his game-winning home run from last night and was unavailable.
Oh, you want some ice for that burn, Paulie.
I remember he did that a couple of years ago.
Okay. Take a break back after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up top of the hour, which NFL team has the best core of wide receivers? I was surprised when I saw this list. And there were a couple of surprises on there. Yes, Paulie?
Is this wide receivers or wide receivers and tight ends? Or just wide receivers?
I think it's your receiving core.
Oh. Yeah, tight ends are in this list. Yeah. I cheated and looked.
Okay. Why do you do that?
Well, you mentioned it offhandedly in the kitchen, and I was like, I can't wait to see this. Any list, I must see immediately.
Yes, Eden.
See, I had a team immediately pop into my head, but I don't know who the tight end is.
Uh-huh. Well, is the receiving core that good that you don't even know the tight end? And they?
I think they are, yeah.
All right, I'm not going to tell you, but if you guys want to try to guess, the best receiving core in the NFL is... Seton, I'll start with you.
The Dallas Cowboys.
All right, Dallas Cowboys. Paulie?
I'm going to go with Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Tampa Bay. McLovin?
I already looked. I can't.
Oh, that's right. That's
yeah,
right.
I already looked.
Todd?
I would throw the Browns in there since the other two were taken.
Well, no, you can still take those.
I'm going to go Cleveland.
Okay. One of you is right. Yes, McLovin?
I'm rejecting the whole premise out of hand. Because if your quarterback is awesome and your head coach can design these great plays, your wide receivers are going to look better. Like Andy Reid, wide receivers are always great. And, you know, Tom Brady, whoever his receivers are always better because Tom Brady is throwing to
Okay.
Them. So I don't know, like, these receivers in a vacuum?
You want to grade this on a curve?
I think so. I think, like, right. I mean, honestly, yeah, like, how do you know what these guys would be like if they didn't have a great quarterback?
go see the Cowboys. Whoa.
Wow.
Zing.
Yes, Paul.
The Buccaneers have depth. Tight end Gronk, O.J. Howard, Cameron Brate, Antonio Brown, Chris Godwin, Scotty Miller, Mike Evans. Not all household names, but seems like the deepest squad.
It is.
Yeah, but have they ever won anything?
Oh. by the way, episode 2 of That Scene, my podcast where I talk to actors and actresses, and some of their iconic roles. I talked to Jake Johnson. He was in New Girl for a long time. And Let's Be Cops, he was also in.
That's a funny movie.
He's in a gambling film called Win It All. Big Chicago sports fan. And here is a clip where we talked about a variety of things, including, remember when we were on the movie set when we were told by Sandler not to make eye contact with the actress Susan Sarandon? Well, Jake Johnson has a similar moment about making eye contact or not with Susan Sarandon. And he had this where he was trying to make small talk with Prince. Prince was a big fan of New Girl. And he appeared on the show. And Jake Johnson talked about sitting on a bench with Prince.
So I'm sitting shoulder to shoulder with Prince. So, you know, I start BSing a little bit. I know he's from Minnesota. I know he's a fan of basketball. So I start asking about, like, the T-Wolves a little bit. I start talking Vikings-Bears rivalry. And at a certain point, I'm like, I don't know what to say. I'm a huge fan. Prince, man, I'm going to say something. He said, I'm not the kind of fan you are, I guess. And I had to go like, I'm so sorry.
You can listen to the rest of the episode. Go to Amazon.com/that scene, wherever you get your podcast. Great success with David Harbour from Stranger Things last week. I think it might have been the number one or number two listened to podcast on Amazon.com. So if you get a chance, you can listen to it. I thought he was a lot of fun. A lot of fun there. All right. Some phone calls here. Matt in North Carolina. Hi, Matt. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Dan. 6'1 and a tight 238. I got two things. First thing, I woke up, saw that the Knicks are making some moves in free agency. I'm a longtime Knicks fan. Opened it up to see that they're possibly getting Kemba Walker, which was very disappointing. Not quite what I was expecting on the big moves for all the salary cap space we had.
Yeah, you had $60 million, and you're getting Kemba Walker. Good luck with that, Matt. Yeah, I don't... You know, they had something to build off of, right? You make the playoffs, you get a home playoff win, and then you lose to the Hawks. But you got to build off of that.
Is this not building?
Kemba Walker?
Absolutely. They absolutely got better from last year.
What year is this? I got Kemba Walker and Derrick Rose as my backcourt. Like, if this is, you know, 7 years ago, I feel pretty good. Yeah, McLevin.
I read last week they were going to get Dame Lillard, and Lillard was going to get Embiid to come to New York in a couple years.
Yeah.
This is not Embiid and Lillard.
Yeah. No, it's not. Jeff in Cabo joins us. Hi, Jeff.
Yeah. I got a lifelong Dodger fan. I got to bring this thing up again. I mean, this team down there, they took something from us. They broke our heart. Not quite unlike a handsome rugby player at the University of Dayton. So as soon as we get over, as soon as you get over that, we'll let go of it.
Oh, I'm over that. But thank you, Jeff. So. I dated a cheerleader at the University of Dayton and found out that she might have been dating a rugby player while she was dating me simultaneously. And, you know, the guy was a rugby player, good looking guy, in shape. Look, I was over my skis, but no, I promise you, I'm well over that. Like, I was okay. Hey. You know, she moved on to the rugby player and then came crawling back. And I'm like, nope, I am taking this face, this hair, this acne, and this body, and I am going taking my talents elsewhere. And that's what I did. It was just there was nobody there to take my talents to. It took a little while.
You didn't have, like, I'm taking my talents to Miami. You didn't have a Miami.
I did not. I did not have a South Beach. No, it was. But I sounded really confident when I said, hey, I don't. Good for you. See you later. I got other options there, girl. Yeah, so. And then we're in L.A., and I meet the son of the rugby player when we're out to dinner. And he's rubbing it in my face. And I said, all right, you know, I'll take it. What's the rugby player doing now, and what am I doing now? Yeah, eat it. Coming up next hour, best wide receiving core in the NFL? Question mark. How about the worst wide receiver, the receiving core in the NFL? We'll find out as well. And I believe the Red Slugger, Joey Votto, will stop by. So busy final hour coming up. More phone calls as well. Take a break. Final hour and the On Deck Circle after this. Ah, but wait, there's one more item. We close out hour two. You want to hear something amazing? Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year automatically. There's no limit on how much you can earn. It's amazing. Even more amazing because of all the places where Discover's accepted. 99% of the places in the United States that take credit cards take Discover. You know what that means. When it comes to Discover, get used to hearing the word yes more often. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen Report. Limitations apply.